Luke 17.
I thought I had a question about yesterday, but maybe in thinking about it, it's cleared up a little bit. We were reading in Timothy yesterday, I think it was written by Paul, and he made a statement in one of the verses about imploring his associate to continue to follow Scripture.
Right, 2 Timothy, let's go there.
Second. You don't have to go there.
Yeah, well, let's go there, because I'm sorry, but that's... Verse 14, chapter 3. Continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast seen, been assured of knowing of whom thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers to satisfy their itching ears, is what it says. That's all we read there. I don't know what part of that. I don't know where your question came from.
We actually read through verse 8. But it didn't matter. My question is about
all Scriptures.
And do you have known Holy Scriptures? It just seemed strange to me that Scripture was written from a perspective like, I guess this is the difference between Old Testament and New Testament, is that correct? I mean, when Paul wrote this, he didn't know this was going to end up in Scripture.
Right.
And it only it is referring to Scripture. It seemed kind of strange.
No, the only Scripture he's referring to as the law, the writings, and the prophets.
Then I was right in that.
That's what the Scripture means there.
The Scripture doesn't mean New Testament?
No, because there was none when this...
When it was written, there was none.
Right.
How did it become Scripture?
By innumerable consuls. Well, first, the main thing that happened was Luke. There were so many different stories that were written. And were just crazy. It was, you know, the Acts of Matthew, in which it gave all kinds of information about Jesus as a little boy, and he made a bird out of clay and then breathed on and all that stuff. And so Luke's purpose was to set in order all these things, and not just set in order, but to clarify.
Luke
did. That's his purpose. Then much later, they began to have consuls, especially in the main one was the Council of Nicaea.
So Luke pared it down or organized it, is that fair?
Right.
Pared
it down, but he just, some of these spurious things that were like the Gospel of Thomas. And
you're talking about apocryphal Scripture,
yeah,
basically?
Yeah. Because everybody was, when Jesus, you know, as it became... Then everybody was writing something.
And Luke was in a position to do this because he knew.
No, he not only knew, but he was there. He wasn't there throughout. He wasn't a disciple in the original 12, but he was a Jewish convert that came. He was a doctor, and he came for the Passover at Christ's crucifixion. Remember it says in Luke, well, let's just look at that real quick so I don't misquote it. Luke 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed. So that was the premise. And so he wrote the book. There was one book, it's now called, or two books, it's now called Luke and Acts. That originally was one humongous book that Luke wrote. And he wrote it under the guidance of Paul. So I don't know if that answers your question. But.
Well, it does a little bit. It's just interesting that Luke organized Scripture. And apparently eliminated things which were not
spurious. Well, then there was many different discussions. There had been councils in the Jewish religion. And they tried to get rid of Esther. They tried to get rid of Ecclesiastes. Just different people tried to. You know, it wasn't any big thing. It didn't get accepted, but they because they didn't agree with what they thought it was, what should be.
So these councils again added and or subtracted.
Very rarely did anything. They just had a council because there was somebody that had enough authority to question something.
Very rarely did anything.
Right, the Old Testament, the Jewish ones. And the New Testament, the main one was the Council of Nicaea. Sorry, if that's how you pronounce it. And again, there was much research and much discussions about which thing, because people kept trying to add things to the canon. Even some of them, the writings of Jerome are some of those early fathers. A lot of them wanted to get rid of the Book of Revelation.
Song of Solomon.
Huh?
The Song of Solomon.
And yeah, well, that was earlier, Song of Solomon. But. It didn't work, and I've studied all those apocrypha, and I can see why they didn't include them. Some of them are just crazy. And we've got all of the oracles. There's many, many oracle things that are revelations of Christ. I can't even remember now her name. It was a female name on the oracles. And then there was the book of. Anyway, these things they went on and on and on and on, and they didn't do much, but they were just interesting. Okay.
Was there ever a dispute between what was considered prophetic and what was a personal writing? Or
well, there was no dispute. All prophets in the Old Testament, they had to have two things. They had to have a prophecy that occurred within their lifetime, and then the prophecies further on. If anything that they said didn't occur as they said it in their lifetime, they were killed.
Yeah, that was the Old Testament.
Yeah. And their writings were destroyed, and their children were killed in some cases. Because it was so... so odious to be a prophet, and yet and not be right, because they weren't prophets. They just... But now we have people calling themselves prophets all over the world. And they say that, you know, a prophet doesn't have to have everything right, you know, because they're blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, every year there's this group in Kansas City, they call the Kansas City Prophets. And then a lot of people elsewhere are members of that. But they make all these ridiculous prophecies, and they claim if one of 100 were true, that means they really were good. Benny Hinn does it every year, prophecies for the next year. Mm-hmm. None of them come true, as far as I can tell.
He strikes out a lot.
Huh?
He strikes out a lot.
Yeah, he should be, according to the Old Testament, he should have been killed. All right, back to Luke 17.
Is it me or is it hot in here?
It's
hot. Hot. I vote for hot. But in deference to Miss Sue, I'll accept it. Because she's such a wuss.
It'll cut off in a second.
All right. Verse 4. If you trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Forgive as a phemi, but it has a condition to it. It means you give up the right to feel hurt about something, or offended even. But not only that, it should be as if the offense never occurred, if you forgive. Not like we forget. We forgive, but then we keep the ammunition and the things in our armory for future reference. But it should be as if that offense never occurred. And then we see from a spiritual standpoint that had it not occurred, you couldn't have seen what you see. So therefore, the offense it doesn't become an offense, it becomes an instrument of the revelation of Christ. Amen? All right, so let's continue. And the apostles said unto the Lord, in verse 5, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. That's pretty wild. Let's look at some of these mustard seed ones. Let's go to Matthew 13 first. Because when I'm I'll talk about it later. And verse 13, verse 11. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which is a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it grows, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now,
can you tell me what scripture that was again?
13:31.
Okay, yeah, all right.
The mustard seed is the smallest, it's considered, that's the reason for the parable, it's considered the smallest of the seeds. And the mustard that they're talking about here, it grows to about 10 feet or more. And it does have branches like a tree. So this parable is telling us two things. It's not just that if you, the little bit of faith, but it defines faith. And if you really think about it, the only difference between you and a mustard seed is the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed and doesn't question it. If you would just be instead of trying to be, then this mystery would come forth. Because you would always prophesy, you would always say what's there, and now it would open the channel because it knows it's a, you know who you are. But since you don't know who you are, then you're always questioning things and having your mind, give the mind the right to accuse you of things. I used to kid Harry about the list maker. Do you understand the difference to just to be instead of trying to be? If faith isn't faith unless it's automatic. And it's automatic in the same way a mustard seed grows or the seed of oats grow or any kind of grain or a tree. That's why that I love that pecan tree in the back because I like pecans. But moreover, it's like, and you've heard me say this many times, Jesus Christ was the first pecan. He fell into the ground and died, and a tree came forth. And the tree was shaken in Pentecost, and now, if you will, the whole world, all the human race is a bunch of pecans. Someone says, I'm an Islamic pecan, and I'm a Shiite pecan, and I'm a Sunni pecan, and I'm an atheist pecan, and I'm a Christian pecan, blah, blah, blah. And none of it means anything. Because unless that seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone and is nothing. So all of our labels are meaningless, because they're all labels of us trying to be something. Does that communicate?
Makes me think of show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And works doesn't necessarily mean doing something. It's the works are...
It's the work of God is visible. That's why the saying, again, I use it because it's being said to me so often. If I did what you said, Ole, just go sit in a corner. That's because you have a form of godliness, but deny his power.
Or go sit in the corner.
Huh?
Go sit in the corner and see what happens.
Yeah.
Might find out something.
Well, that's the whole mystery. Do you understand the from God's perspective, the evilness of trying to be? That's the fruit of the fall. You got to try to be something. You got to try to do something instead of just doing and being. You think about it. So it passes through the evil one. And by definition, it becomes an offense, as we talked about and studied yesterday. It's dangerous. You piss off a whole lot of people. Just be. And get rid of all the crap, the filters that tell you how you should be or how somebody else should be. Let's look at Mark 4. So So now that this is the same one we just read in Mark's version of it, verse 30. Now let's go to 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. And in the verb tense there, it means sleep and rise, sleep and rise, sleep and rise. And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now, that's what faith is. It's just automatic. It's just being. Instead of, it looks like everybody else, you're going around, rising and sleeping. But can you see the freedom of, if you, for the first time in your life, stop trying to be something and just walk, just be? That's what this parable is telling you. What?
Oh, the mustard seed clicked in here.
That's what you're just about to talk about it.
Okay.
Then verse 30, I mean. And he said, wherein shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth up great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it.
Sounds like you're saying it's living versus toiling.
Being.
Well, toiling is what most all of us do.
That's what it means. You exhort one another daily to enter the rest. Well, this is good. Let's stay in Mark.
You know, this is kind of a sensation of substance of faith. Now faith is the substance. Feel like we're in the substance.
Amen. And still in chapter 4 of Mark, I'm going to start in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, wherewith it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they asked him about, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And then he said this incredible thing. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And And these are they by the wayside where the seed is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And Satan, the only Satan that's coming, is by his minion, which is you. You pass it through your mind. All right, now I'm going to get started. I'll go on a rant if I get started. Then next, these are they which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, as we said before, every one of these seeds believes in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. The next one, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And then finally, the ones that fell into good ground, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. This is why it says, unless you be converted and become as that little child, you can no wise enter the kingdom of God. This is how we get the difference between disciples and just believers. Anybody, any response to any of this seed stuff? Just be instead of trying to be.
That last thing you said reminded me, you die to become a believer. You can believe more or less before that, but not really.
No, and you don't die. You don't. He believes. He's faith. It says, have the faith of God. The only faith of God is in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He is your life. You're gone. You're buried in baptism. But then this evil one, he loves to raise himself from the deadly head wound. That's what these different levels of belief are between them. Seed falling on stony ground, seed falling in without much earth, the seed falling among thorns, and the seed falling in good ground. It's all the same mechanism. But the only ones, the others, the stony ground, not deep ground. I don't know how to say that.
Shallow ground.
There you go.
Profound ground.
The one among thorns. They're all sitting in churches today.
Let's think about what good ground is, and from a man's point of view, good ground is well tended and pristine. Good ground, but from God's point of view, it's the ground that's all broken up.
And with a bunch of shit in it.
A bunch of shit. Yeah.
It's fertilizer.
And that's good ground.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the opposite.
A life that's been wrecked.
But you got to see that this is why the whole predicate, the last thing you read before you enter eternity is the book of Ecclesiastes. Because you can see the emptiness and futility of all. Especially ear wrappers, but you got to see the whole human race. It's just everybody's just running around trying to be something. It's just crazy.
I like people who like to reinvent themselves.
Well, you do it every day.
And say so proud.
That's the whole fashion industry. If the fashion industry didn't exist, it would start tomorrow. Because it's the whole thing of reinventing yourself. I'm going to change myself and I'm going to become this. You're just another golem. All right. Anybody else?